What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Genesis chapter 3 from verse 5. The Bible says, the devil talking to man, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be what? Will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Then the Bible says in verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," hear this, "and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise." We often overlook that. She looked at the tree as a tree that could make one wise. The word wise there is also the word successful. One of the things the devil used to lure her and lure the man into disobedience, are we together, was a promise of success. That if you will disobey God and doubt his word and trust my word, I will make you successful. He says, a tree desirable to make one wise. The Hebrew word there also means successful, established. And you know what the sin of man was? The sin of man, hello. The sin of man wasn't necessarily that he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a sin. But you know what the sin was? Romans chapter 5 tells us what the sin was. You want to see? Okay, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're talking about the spirit of knowledge. How men seek knowledge for the sake of success. Where did I say we should go? Where? Okay, Romans chapter 5. God bless you. Now, Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, verse 12. No, verse 19. Let's go to 19 so I don't read too many scriptures. Let's just go to 19. That's what I'm going to see. He says, "For as by one man's what? Disobedience. Many were made sinners." What was the sin? Disobedience. The sin was disobedience. Someone said, if God knew that that tree was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why did he put that tree there, causing us all this problem? How many of you have felt like that before? Let me see your hand up. Why is he putting us in all this problem? Just, you know it's not good. Take it away. Listen, the Bible does not say it's a bad tree. A lot of people read that story and they say God put an evil tree in the garden. Everything God made was good. Even the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not a bad tree. He only says you shouldn't eat it. Come on. He just said you shouldn't eat it. Do you eat every tree? Does that make those trees evil? Wait. Those trees that you don't eat, are they evil trees? The way some people are looking at me is like they eat every tree. No, we don't eat every tree. So it's not an evil tree. He only said don't eat it. You know why? What that tree does, the tree has its place. Listen, there is morality in life, but it's not for man's consumption. There are rules that guard life. Are you with me? That's what this tree is about, but it's not for man's consumption. Do you get it now? It's not for man's consumption. That is not how you establish a relationship with God. And the second reason God put the tree there, are we together? Is so that man can have a choice, because love is not love without choice. That's why most marriages that are arranged, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. Some say, Pastor, even the ones that are not arranged, they don't work. But it was your choice. You follow? Because true love gives you options. Love doesn't force itself on people. I love you, God says I love you, and you must love me back. No. That is manipulation. Love doesn't force itself on people. I've seen people who say they are in love with maybe a brother or in love with a sister. Hello. I say, does the person love you? Say, it doesn't matter. I take it by faith. That's witchcraft. Did you hear me? I said, that is what? Witchcraft. Even God, if God didn't give man options, man's relationship with God wouldn't be born out of love. Man would just be a robot. A machine does not have a choice. It's what you feed it. It processes. Even if it tries to give options, it's within what is programmed. It can't work outside the program. Listen, what religion is a program. What Christianity is a relationship. Do you follow now? But you see, when you try to ascertain success on the basis of performance, you are eating a wrong tree. You are successful because you are eating life. Do you get it? You are blessed. Things work for you because you are eating what? You're eating life. You know Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go through everything we've been saying, but it's disobedience. And what is disobedience? What is the greatest sin? The greatest sin is doubting God's word. The greatest sin is doubting God's word. That God has said something, but you can't trust it enough, and you choose what the devil tells you over what God has said. And you all agree with me, that is what the devil is constantly doing. Always giving people what? Options. Did God really say you are healed? Do I have a witness? The Bible says by his stripes you're healed. The devil says, did God really say? See, the devil doesn't come to tell you that God is a liar. You know you will tell him to get behind you. And people don't know how the devil comes, so they are running away from the wrong stuff. So the devil, you know, when you watch some of those cartoons, the devil has what? Horns, holding a pitchfork. That's no devil. These days, children are not even scared anymore. When they see something, they say, oh, devil. See? It doesn't move them, you know. That's not the devil. The devil is a handsome, intelligent, cute-looking person. But what did the devil do? Just to get man to doubt God's word. He will not come to you and say, eat. No, he will say, did God really say? Back to Genesis chapter 3. Because I want to talk to you about understanding today. Genesis chapter 3. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. How many of you have heard some people say, the Bible says, do not forsake the what? Gathering together of the saints. But did the Bible really mean that if you don't go to church, you will not do well? Every time you start putting a twist to what God has said, you're having a conversation with the devil. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. She added that one. Lest you die. Then in verse 4 it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Give me verse 1. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning. Do you see that word there? Cunning. The word cunning means intelligent, smart, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Has God indeed said? Did he really say? Did he really say that you are blessed? That's how we have genetically modified messages today. The Bible says you are blessed, but another man of God says, no, you are not just blessed. There are things you need to. In Christ Jesus, you are blessed. See, that's not all to it. You know, sometimes you can be blessed, but certain things can follow you from your past. Have you heard that? When I got born again, there was a doctrine called the doctrine of the scar. That if you have a wound, the wound heals. But it doesn't mean the scar is not there. That you might not be feeling the pain of the scar, but the scar is there so that you will remember. So that you will not go back to that place again. Who taught that? The devil. He's the one just saying, indeed, now that you're born again. You want to marry, sister? You want to marry? You know how many boyfriends you had? There is a scar. It is the scar of your past that is following you. Have you heard that? It is a scar. And in the back of your mind, you are now born again. Hello? But that is following you. So the moment something happens, you're always trying to troubleshoot. And guess who is helping you troubleshoot? The devil. Oh, I love the testimony of one lady, she's married. She came to Boko and she had read my magazine. Then it was called Zoe Magazine. So she came, she was just so excited. She wanted to meet me. And we met. She said, Pastor Arame, nice meeting you. Tall lady. Pastor Jay knows her. You're just so excited. She said, guess what? I've been reading your magazines. I've been so blessed. I said, praise God. He said, do you know, I lived a very rough life. I was very rough. She used to teach boys how to weed. Some of you don't know what weed is. When you go to your farm, you'll know. She said, I used to teach boys how to weed, you know. She said, I was rough. All my brothers, I taught them all the bad things they know. She said, but I got born again. Oh, and salvation has not been this real. And as she was planning to get married, they said they had to run a test, an HIV test. So they sent her to a doctor, and they got the doctor, and the doctor screened her, and they said, oh, you're positive. That you're positive. So she laughed. She said, you don't know the person sitting here. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says all things have passed away. He said, check again. They said, sit down, we know your kind. Let's just explain to you. After you've misbehaved, you think you can just go and hide in church. He said, I've not denied misbehaving, but I'm telling you that the person that misbehaved is dead and gone. He said, but this person sitting here cannot have it. So they took her somewhere else and screened. And it was HIV positive. So she just laughed and walked away. So she went to the pastor and told the pastor that imagine me born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. They are telling me that I'm HIV positive when the life of God is in me. The pastor said, he said what? That you're positive? Come. It's a very serious thing. You should start here. She was so disappointed. She told me. He said, it's my pastors that taught me this thing. I remember Papa Idahosa. I was watching one of his videos. He said, I read in the book of Mark chapter 16, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. When they passed, I met Pastor, I said, Pastor, did God say this? Where are the dead people? The pastor was the one trying to calm him down. I came to announce to you, I'm not that kind of pastor. Praise the Lord. And they took her to another. Do you know the pastor sent her to another physician, to their personal physician? 3 days later, the result was negative. The pastor didn't believe. So we'll go and check in another lab. And she was just wondering the layer of unbelief. She said, but when I read the magazine, I said, so these things are true. And today she is very happily married. All the children are bouncing like long tennis balls. You get what I'm saying? She refused to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She chose to eat the tree of life. Am I talking to someone? Choose what you want to eat. Well, I don't know how I arrived there, but let's go to verse 6 now so that we can finish today's message. Amen. So the Bible says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and as a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew. Underline open in your Bible, and underline knew. So it is the opening of the eyes that brings what? Knowledge. Are you with me? So when the Bible talks about the spirit of knowledge, are you with me? It is talking about an understanding that opens you up to truth. Now, when the Bible says their eyes were open, of course you should know. It's not talking about their physical what? Physical eyes. That means beyond your physical eyes, there's the eye of your mind. There's the eye of your heart. And don't make a mistake. You look through these eyes, but you see with your mind. There's a difference. You look with your physical eyes, but you see with your mind. That's why you can sit and be looking at someone and not really be seeing the person. And listen now. Everything you see is based on the perception of your mind. Is what your mind perceives that your eye sees, not what your eye sees that your mind perceives. Have you ever worn a dress, you felt you were the only person that had that dress? Then you went somewhere and it's called that everybody had that dress. Remember that, picture? I saw a picture of someone who wore a particular dress, went to a restaurant, and the same piece of material that was used to make that dress was used for the table cover of the restaurant. Someone said, what will you do? You finish your food. Amen. To make any trouble. I remember the first time I had, I had this car. It was called End of Discussion. How many of you remember it? Though we are still talking. So I had this End of Discussion, lovely car, Ivy Tech. That was the first time I was having a car with leather seats. Hello? AC split system, the heating. No, the car was just. And I thought I was the only person that had that kind of boko. I used to tell myself that God has blessed me. He's put me in a class all by myself. I even take only me. That evening, as I was driving out, I saw the same car, the same color. So I turned, there was a brother of mine. I said, so someone has this car also. He said, no, that man has always had it. He said, the car is always passing here. I said, this same car. 2 days later, I saw another one. It was ash. I started seeing it. You know why? My mind hadn't seen it. It's when your mind sees that your eyes begin to see. That's why you don't see with your physical eyes. You see with your mind. So a man who is truly blind, the worst form of blindness is not physical blindness. The worst form of blindness is to be blind in your mind. And what the devil did to man was that he opened man's mind, opened his consciousness, Because what the opening of the mind means is a consciousness. You become what? You become conscious. That's what understanding is. You can now piece facts together, piece things together. Am I talking to someone? You become conscious of things. Then knowledge has come. That consciousness is what is referred to as knowledge. That knowledge now, am I talking, is what births experience. Did you get it? I want you to see the progression. Your mind is open. You receive knowledge. Your knowledge determines your what? Experience. They knew they were naked. And your experience is now determining your activities. That means things they were not doing before, they began to do it. Have they ever gathered figs? Have they ever sowed figs? No. But now they are sowing figs. Their experience has changed. Now, when we get born again, see what God wants to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. What is good? We pray for all men. How many of you pray for your leaders? I pray for Nigeria every day. Amen. Because the Bible says it's good. Now, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That means it doesn't end with being saved. You can be saved, but your life, your experience might not change until you come to the knowledge of the truth. And what brings knowledge? The opening of the mind. So we have lots of people who are born again but still suffering with sickness because their understanding has not been opened. They are still failing. They are still struggling with depression. How many of you have heard, I'm so depressed, I'm moody? You know some people. But it's not because you're not born again. It's because your understanding has not been opened. If it's opened, knowledge will come. And your experience will change. If a man is born again and is still living in a sinful life, it's not because he's no longer born again. It's because he's now born again. He's now saved, but he has not come to what? The knowledge of the truth. What he needs is to come to the knowledge of the truth. Passion Translation. So some of you get born again and all you do is wear your born again like a badge. I am the born again. I am saved. But your life with that of those around you, there is no difference. Reverend Timothy Kenyon, who's going to be with the Lord, told me, you know, he was preaching somewhere and he said something that made me laugh. You know, and I went to visit him in his hotel one day and he was telling me the same story. He said, so many years ago in Jos, when he got saved, he was looking tattered. So he walked up to a guy who was smoking in his car. He said, don't smoke. Stop smoking. Stop smoking. God doesn't like smoking. So he removed a track and gave to the man. He said, you need Jesus. If you receive Jesus, he will change your life. He said, the man looked at the track and looked at him. Say, take. You need him more. He said, after that day, he began to rethink. But the truth is, he didn't need Jesus more. That man needed Jesus more. He just that he didn't know. But what was the man doing? The man was looking at his life and was trying to compare it with his. Are you with me? And you're saying, you're telling him that if I need Jesus, he will change my life. How come you are still like this? That change is a product of coming to the place of knowledge. And it begins with your understanding, being enlightened. Give me verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, 4. The Bible says, he longs for everyone to what? Embrace his life. How many of us have embraced his life? But it doesn't end there. When you have embraced his life, look at the word now. And return to the full knowledge of the truth. Return, return. That's why I wanted to read the passion to you. He wants you to return to the full knowledge. That means you left it. When did we leave it? When Adam fell. So he wants you to return to the exact way it used to be. That's why until a Christian has come to that place where the grace of God becomes a revelation and he understands the love of God, the way it used to be, there is no way he or she can experience the fullness of life. So the same way, hello, that the devil gave man that fruit to eat. And listen, the fruits are words. Let's not go far. The fruits are words. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. Those who love it shall eat its fruit. Fruits are words. Fruits are words. So don't think apple, think pears. For years, we're looking forward to eating apples. Now it's common. I remember in those days, we only used to see apples. I'm talking about, I'm not that old, but around that 19, I think it was around 87, 88, they brought the first apple to our house. My father, my mother, all of us, we shared it. In fact, my dad said, I can't forget what my dad said. He said, we should come and eat what made man fall. Oh, ignorance, we've been delivered. So, you know, in my mind, I was wondering, I said, so why are we eating it? But after I ate it, I said, well, it's a good reason to fall. You understand me? It was nice after all. But to be honest, it was sweet, but I was so disappointed. The first apple I ate. I said, so this is all to eat. But I didn't know. Nice fruits. I eat apples. Now everywhere there are apples. We don't grow them. They export them here. But what I'm saying is this. It's not apple. It's words. A man's belly, Proverbs 18 says, shall be satisfied with the abundance of the fruit of his lips. Words are like fruits. See, scripture likens you to a tree. You are a tree. That's why we are called trees of righteousness. What is the fruit of the tree that you produce? They are the words that come out of your mouth. Words are fruits. So when God was saying not to eat that, he said, look, don't eat anything that introduces you, gives you the consciousness, that awakens the consciousness of good and evil. Because what the consciousness of good and evil does is that it gives you an evil conscience. So words open us up. When you keep hearing words, after a while they say you are enlightened. Is that not what we call people who went to school? We say they are enlightened people. You keep hearing words over a period of time. Then what do you say? Now I see. Ever since someone describing something for you, when understanding comes, what comes? Light. You say, oh, okay, I get, I see. Oh, that's what you're trying to say. So words, fruits, open us up. So it's the word that the devil, I mean, reserved words. He opened the woman to see and the man that brought a consciousness of sin, which is knowledge. Now, what the Holy Spirit does is that after you get born again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to take Jesus and reveal him to you too. And you know, the devil is still telling people today that all Jesus is not all you need. You still need some stuff. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to you through words. I know I'm talking to someone. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, quickly. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, that, you know, sometimes when we read that scripture, it looks like God is begging us, Yeah, but what it's saying is that respond to God's mercy. To present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what is your body there referring to? Your senses. Doesn't mean lie down in church. When he says to present your bodies, what is he saying? Present your senses. Present your eyes. Present your nose. Present your ears. Present your flesh. Your body. For what purpose? He says, your reasonable service. Why do you present your eyes? Why do you present your ears? And you know why the Bible calls it a living sacrifice? A dead sacrifice is easier to live on the altar. Even the humble ram, if it's alive, will not stay on an altar. True or false? So what the Bible is saying is that your flesh is a living sacrifice. Some people are looking at me. That means he has a tendency once in a while to want to go off. Hello. Do I have a weakness here? How many of you have tried not to look at something you say you will not look at again? You don't want to look, but it's a living sacrifice. That's why I said the discipline is to keep that sacrifice there. It's to keep your eyes. You know, you know, some people need to keep their ears hearing God's word. Your ear is still alive. You know what we mean? It's still alive. So you hear God's word, but as you're going out, they are gossiping at the other end. And then you're sitting in church and you're just trying to say, no, hear what God is saying. Then the living sacrifice is jumping off the altar. And here, you know, some people, I didn't know that people like gossip. There are some people who just like gossip. It doesn't have to concern them. It should just be other people's story. Are you with me? And they are satisfied. They just go and say, okay. So they listen for over 20 minutes. They ask, so who are you talking about? They don't even know who they're talking about. They're just busybodies. They just like to hear it. Have you met people like that? If you are one of them, don't take your hand off. But there are people like that. And some people like to generate it. They are generators. They cannot offer this mouth to speak God's word, but they can offer it to discuss people. Tell them to come for prayer. They say, is it every time we are praying? How long should we be praying? Scripture said, must we pray long before God will hear us? Listen to me. Prayer is not because we want God to hear us. That's not all to prayer. Prayer is that we are establishing things. Well, let me not go into that. That's not what I'm teaching about prayer. You know, we're having a 21 days prayer and fasting. Some of you don't come. He said, I've already prayed in my house, so I can't come to church. But you already prayed in your house, but you can sit down, hello, and talk about people for 4 hours. You see, but you said you wanted to go and check something. He said, knock me story, forget that thing. I'll go there later. You can cancel other things. See, that's what scripture is saying. You are a Christian, but there are organs you have to yield. So that it will help you. So that you just have to keep yielding. Because if you put a living chicken on an altar, before you go here and come back, what would the chicken do? You think the chicken is going to just lie there like Jesus and say, okay, I've been waiting for you. May the Lord show you. May you show me mercy. No. I'll tell you exactly what the chicken will do. You put it there. If you don't tie it, it's going to run. The moment he sees fire and he sees a knife, he already knows a pot. You get me? It's going to run. In the same way, if you don't take your eyes, your ears, and your body and keep it in a place, it's going to run. That's why it doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. The moment you stop yielding these elements of your body, you will be amazed what you will do. So there's nothing like, I have come to a place as a Christian right now, there's nothing I cannot do. Don't make a mistake. Stop eating life. You will be shocked what you will do. You will be shocked where you will go. You know, that's how some Christians, their Christian work start fading. It's because they stop yielding their members. I know somebody's quiet. Because the Holy Spirit cannot bring you understanding without your yielded members. So verse 2 of Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world. What does conformity to this world mean? It means don't yield your members to information from this world. Don't yield your ears to death. Don't yield your hands to death. Don't yield your eyes to death. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Change. How many of you want change? Am I talking? How many of you want your life to be better than where it is? How many of you want to move from where you are to where God wants you to be? The Bible says the way is by the renewing of your mind. And how is the mind renewed? It's by yielding your members. You have to be seeing something. You have to be hearing something. Some people say they want to grow, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to read. They don't want to go. So when I go to church, I feel sleepy. Is it not better to come and sleep in church? Yield your flesh, go to church. Is it the same church you feel sleepy in? When you go to another place, you come alive because your flesh is being fed. People sit down and watch football for, watch Man City lose. I hope there are no Man City fans here. Of course, if you're a Man City fan, you must be around 17, 18 years old. I get it because I don't know where you know Man City from. I mean, but they lost. And you sat down and watched. You were feeling sleepy, so I shall not sleep. You were yielding your members. In the same way, when you're hearing God's word, if you want to grow, then you have to change your source of information. The moment man fell, what was the first question God asked man? Who told you? Who told you? That means you have eaten something. So you're a Christian. You don't have a Bible. You don't read one. You don't hear messages. You don't buy messages. You don't come to church. Hello. And you want to change? How? Do you get what we're saying now? You think that when you lie down, the Holy Spirit will say, lie down, I want to perform surgery. Lie down, lie down, lie down. Then he comes and opens your mind. No. It's through these members that the information comes. Then the Holy Spirit has the personal responsibility of opening your mind so that your eyes can see. And listen now. When your mind is open, knowledge comes. When knowledge comes, your perception changes. In a place where others are complaining that there's no money, you'll be wondering why they're saying there's no money. Because God's word, the information fed you, has actually enlightened your mind to see that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich for your sake, he became what? Poor. You, through his poverty, have been made what? Rich. That's why in Boko is not a limitation to wealth. No. Boko is not a limitation to wealth. Because my consciousness has been opened. Do I have a witness? My consciousness has been opened. My mind has been opened. You know, when I got that EOD, I'll never forget something that the man of God said, Reverend Okpara. He was telling some pastors in Makwede, they were just, that pastor Rami is just moving fast. See, don't compete with me. You'll never catch me. No, I'm serious. Don't compete with me. Never catch me. I'm like the wind. I'm unstoppable. Glory to God. And Reverend Opara told them, he said, people sat here. That car, because the car came from Abuja. He said the car left Abuja, crossed Makurdi. He didn't stop. He went to Boko. You know why? When the word of God opens your mind and knowledge comes, your experience will change. That's why people will seek you from different places. You know, people want to meet people, but they don't have a mind that sees those people. I believe someone is getting something. It is God's word. You have to stay with the word. Give me the Passion Translation. Are you learning something? You have to open your, you have to read, you have to meditate. You have to yield your members. God can't do that for you. But the moment you yield your members, the Holy Spirit will now give you the information. And he's the one that does the work of bringing understanding. CRK is not the same thing as knowledge. BK is not the same thing as knowledge. The person who taught me religious knowledge died of sickness. Because you can be reading the whole Bible and not see what God is saying. It is the Holy Spirit that opens what you need to see. See, oh my. I was talking to a brother. And he said, my father-in-law is a theologian. And he was talking about speaking in tongues. So the father-in-law said, look, I think his father-in-law has 2 doctorate degrees in theology. And said, I have read this whole Bible. You Pentecostals, you are misunderstanding this whole thing. So he gave his own explanation of the word. There is a church that I know, guess how they celebrate Pentecost? The church is on this land. Should I tell you how they celebrate Pentecost? They have a day of Pentecost. You know what they do? They will go to Hausa Quarter, bring Hausa Christians. They will go to Yoruba Quarters, bring Yoruba Christians, bring Tiv Christians, bring Igala Christians, invite different people. Then they'll say it's Pentecost. Everybody, open your mouth now and begin to pray to God in your language. Am I lying? Then everybody will start saying, Agbara Allah, Agbara Allah. Then they go and say, oh, yo, do bagabu, I don't want to go. Everybody will say, that's not speaking in tongues, boy. Then the evil man will say, Chimo, Chimo, Ezemo. That's not Pentecost. When the day of what? Pentecost fully come. The Holy Ghost descended upon them. Who gave them the utterance? The Holy Ghost. But see, there's no understanding. But they've gone to school. And this is what I told the brother. I said, see, Pastor, obviously, he read computer science and majored in something. Amen. In programming. Networking, yeah, good. Then she went into education. Pastor Duim here read cooperative management. Pastor Robert read computer science. Yeah. Oh, okay. Your tie makes me think you read banking and finance. Pastor Simon here is a vet doctor. Are you getting me? I am an agriculturist. Others are housewives. Listen to me. All of us have our different, is the different information fed us. Do you know what? If we take Pastor Simon's textbooks and we give them to Pastor Doyum, she will be able to read them. She will be able to read them. Because as long as you've been through primary school, at least you are able to read. Except you need prayer. Amen. You should be able to read. So if they give you the textbooks, you can read them. Pastor Doyin can read the textbook from beginning to the end. But she will not. Because it's not just about reading. That means it takes someone who has the mind that wrote that book. That when she's reading it, that's why you go to school. So that when you are reading that book, the person who from his mind those words came will be able to interpret and explain to you, to give you understanding of what is being said. And if you keep hearing that person over a period of time, what happens? You come to a place where you have changed from an ignoramus. You are, Pastor Doyin can change from corporate management if he keeps reading that book and someone keeps explaining it to her and understanding comes. They will say she used to be a corporate manager, but now she is a vet doctor. The word of God is not written by a man, so a man cannot explain it. The word of God is written by the Holy Ghost. That's why when you take the Holy Ghost, take the Bible, it is the Holy Spirit now that will begin to explain to you what he meant, what he wrote. And it is the word of God. And as you are reading it and he's explaining to you, over a period of time, you will not be living the life of a man. You will be living the life of a God. Are you getting me? That is what the Bible refers to as transformation. To be transformed. But where does it start? It's not because the life of God is not already in you. It's that your thoughts The thoughts of God are not yet in you. This is where knowledge comes. So you start thinking like God, talking like God. The Bible is not to make you moral, it's to make you God. There are lots of moral books. The Bible is not one of them. Is there morality in the Bible? Yes. But it's not a moral book. Because when you begin to think, talk, act like God, listen to me, morality will be the least of your issue. There are lots of books there you can read. So it says, beloved friends, somebody bless this morning. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself. See, grace has come. What should be your response? It's not to just go around and say, yes. Grace means I can do anything. And the Bible says the proper response to grace and mercy is to surrender your members. Surrender yourselves to God to be his what? To be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by what? The Holy Spirit. Through what? Total reformation of how you think. Not changing your clothes. I've seen people who preach change of clothes. Brother, you are born again and you are still wearing jeans. Brother, you are born again and you are still wearing. I was saying for Simon the other time, when I got born again, the church I got born again, trusting church, when we are fasting, we don't swallow saliva. So we used to hide to swallow saliva. It was just hypocrisy. We would be talking, we'll go somewhere and swallow. When we're fasting, guess what we'll do? We'll collect our breakfast, we'll keep it. Because I was a student. We collect lunch, keep it. Collect once it's 6 o'clock. Amen. We can't wait. Because I went to a Catholic school, so there's something known as Angelus. So once we hear the angel, it's 6 o'clock. Bang, bang, bang. As they are done, I'm running. See, we are running to where the food was. Nobody touches that food. We'll bring breakfast first. Are you getting me? We'll finish the breakfast. Wow. Finally, we'll bring lunch. Finish it. Then rush for dinner. We'll start constipating by morning. Do you understand me? We'll be bloated. Pray. Pray about what? Hear God's word. We didn't even hear God's word. We are fasting. Because we were punishing our souls so that God will see us. We were not wearing regular trousers. You know, in those days, the trousers that used to reign in those days is bala bala, baggy shorts. That's what everybody used to sew. Even the shorts, they would sew big shorts. That was what was trending in those days. Guess what we're wearing? What you are wearing now. How you know we are Christians? We have to reduce our trousers. And they used to call it pencil. What you are wearing now is what we're wearing then. So if I was still there, now that you are wearing this, we'll go back to baggy. Are you getting me? Because we can't be by the world. Transformation is not by changing your clothes. It's by changing, allowing the word of God change the way you think from the inside out. It's a mindset. No man is transformed by how he cuts his hair. People have asked me, Pastor Arame, can I put it like, can't you see mine? It's very recent. It was yesterday. If you like, I can add one here. It's your hair. If you want, put one in the middle. It's your business. That's not my business. That's not my business. If your father says it's okay, no problem. Young people, are you getting me? If you like, do a parabola, run like this. If they don't beat you, no problem. But that's not the essence of Christianity. I know some people are scared about this. I'm not saying you should dress anyhow. Don't get me wrong. Because when you see the way people comport themselves, you tell what is in their heart. A prostitute dresses the way she dresses because that's how she thinks. You know, your mind shows in your body. Any day, your mind shows in your body. Anyhow, your mind shows in your body. You know, why do you want to show everybody everything that is for somebody? You know what I mean? I know what a man is willing to. Know how men think? Anything you can show, you are willing to share. That's why they come for a piece of it. They start carrying placard. Are you getting me? So you too, protect yourself. Amen. I'm not raising any debate. Please don't chat me after service. I'm not saying anything. No. Are you getting me? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, as a Christian, if you guard your mind, your external world will change. So how does information get into your mind? It is through your eyes, through your ears, and through your feelings. That's why you must protect these things. Lift your hand up to heaven. Father, we give you praise. Bless the Lord this morning. Thank Him for understanding. You know, the Spirit of God is with you to give you understanding. Yeah, so thank Him. Say, Spirit of God, this week I receive understanding. So don't try to change. Just hear God's word. God's word will change you. That's what we're saying. Don't try your own strength. Just yield your eyes to God's word. Yield your eyes to see what God is saying. Yield your ears to see what God is saying. And all you desire is yours. So go ahead, give your praise this morning. Bless His name. Bless the Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Father, we bless You. We honor You. Say, Spirit of God, my eyes are open to see, my ears to hear, my heart to understand. Be exalted. Be magnified.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.